What a wonderful morning, isn't it? Great to see the church come together and just celebrate our Lord and our Saviour. I feel like I'm not even sure if we should share anything. There's been so much good stuff, but we've got to wait for lunch, so you might as well listen to me, eh? Just fill the time, okay. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, I've often said that I struggle with tradition and ritual. I've often been quite public about that, or maybe, yeah, to some people. But what I've learned as I've sort of been more and more honest with myself as the years have gone by is that I actually do like tradition. My traditions, the things I like and what I want. What I struggle with is the other traditions that I don't want to get involved with. The traditions that force me to do things that I don't want to do. And so I put up this image that I don't like tradition, but it's just that I like to be in control of the traditions I follow. Do you relate to that? No? You just go along with traditions? But it's true though, isn't it? We love our traditions. And what I've found, and for me, I've sort of spent a lot of my life trying to challenge traditions. And it's not a bad habit because when you challenge them, you begin to understand why they're there. I think we talked about last week, Fiona had said, you know, ritual without memory, or ritual is about memory. And I said, ritual without memory is dead. And so if we're just doing ritual, if we're just doing tradition, we forget why it's there, then there's no point. But actually, ritual and tradition with memory, with meaning, is incredibly rich, isn't it? And God, I think, in this story of Christ's birth, is happy to challenge humanity's traditions. And he does it amazingly well through this Christmas story. As we look at this very, very familiar story, most of us will go, yeah, yeah, we know the story of Jesus. And it can be easy to go through the motions of Christmas as a ritual without pausing to sit in amongst the wonder and the awesome reality of what God has done and is continuing to do in Jesus. The reason the church celebrates Christmas every year is because we are remembering what God has done, because it's an incredible reality that we need to keep in mind all the time. And in this story of a baby born in such circumstances, God is challenging humanity about the tradition of power and authority and what is actually important to him. Matthew, of course, records the story from Joseph's perspective. This faithful man was engaged to be married to Mary. And of course, he hears that she is with child. I assume she told him, or someone did. And naturally, he assumes unfaithfulness. I mean, let's admit, who wouldn't? You know, if you were married and the woman comes up and says, "Hey, I'm with child," we all know how that happens, don't we? And so, Joseph is faithful to the law, and he looks at the situation and he goes, "Hey, this is not good. I actually need to step back from this. We both do." And so he starts to move to step back from this, to divorce, to step back from the engagement. But he doesn't want to publicly disgrace Mary because he is a pretty cool guy. He's a righteous man. And he was pondering what to do. And while he was thinking about it, he had a dream. And the angel came, an angel of the Lord, and appeared to Joseph and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." Why would Joseph be afraid to take Mary home as his wife? I mean, she's probably going to get pregnant anyway. What's the big deal? Well, of course, it's tradition, isn't it? It's the culture, it's the place that he belonged, the culture of his people. Many people, I would say most people, no, let's make that all people, would assume that it was because they hadn't waited. They couldn't wait till the wedding day. They got pregnant, and that was just unacceptable. That was terrible in that culture, still is today in many cultures. Either that, or people would assume that he married a woman that was promiscuous and was sleeping with somebody else, which would have been just as bad, if not worse, that he was taking this woman into his house to be his wife when she'd been sleeping with someone else. That's what he's afraid of. He's afraid of people. He's afraid of what's going to happen. What's his life going to be like? After hearing the angel, maybe he was afraid of stepping into the call. Maybe he was a bit fearful of trusting that God by obeying him when others might not understand it. So it's all very well for God to say, go and do that. But what about the people we walk amongst? That can be a really scary journey, walking by faith. But the walk of faith is what God wants for us. And I think when we look at this story of the birth of Jesus, there's a lot of faith going on in here, isn't there, of the people that are involved. They had to step outside of tradition and culture to trust that the Father, through his angels, through his means, is leading his faithful people in this incredible reality that we kind of just take for granted these days sometimes. And this walk of faith is what God wants for all of us. And it can be challenging because it is our personal walk. When we hear from God, we must learn to trust him ourselves. Now, if you look at the Christmas story, nothing that happened broke the law. Nothing that happened was outside of what God wanted, and had always spoken to his people. They weren't just hearing from God and doing something really, really random. They were hearing and stepping into what God had always said was going to happen. See, Joseph had in mind to divorce Mary because this issue of her being with a child made the way forward very complicated. He would have to endure people's opinions and perspectives that came without full knowledge of the situation, because that often happens, doesn't it? We jump to conclusions quite quickly, don't we, when we see things. But Joseph would also have to do life, I think, with that question. Is this really God's baby? I wonder what that would have been like. I've heard the angel. The angel said, I was convinced of this, but I have to walk ahead and marry a woman who's with a child that God conceived. He would have to journey with that himself. And that's something he would have to manage. But I think in his righteousness, in his trust in the Lord, the angel's words that he heard made him bold. And he found strength from that encounter with the angel, and he set his mind to obey, and he walked forward in faith. His love for God is driving his decision in the midst of a religious reality that could potentially be incredibly hostile, as religious communities can be at times. And so I wonder what happened for Joseph. What did he have to endure as his community realized what had happened? What did he experience personally as he navigated the call of faithful obedience to God's will with the very earthly reality of people and living out this life of obedience? You know what? We probably wouldn't even know. But I also wonder, what did Joseph experience in his obedience that was of great joy and wonder and awe? What did he see with this baby that he was there when it was born and he had to take to Egypt and raise as a kind of a refugee in a foreign land and then bring back. And as he saw this baby Jesus grow into a boy, into a teenager. Now, I don't know when Joseph died, but he would have seen some of this this baby growing into a man. What did he learn? What did he experience in that? Of that? The conviction that this child would one day set his people free from their sin must have stoked his curiosity as this baby grew. As he was being the father to this child, having that word of the angel sitting as a foundation for all that was going on must have been an incredible journey. You know, Matthew claims that all this took place to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah foretold, that the virgin will be pregnant and that will give birth to a baby, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder if Joseph saw something heavenly in this baby. We like to think silent night, perfectly peaceful baby. You know, we think that that he never had any issues or never was baby-like, but I wonder if that's a little bit too far, I don't know. But in the years of growing in this boy, and what we do see in Scripture is that he grew in the knowledge of the faith, the culture. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature, both with God and man. I wonder what Joseph saw. I wonder how Joseph walked with him. He was told to call him Jesus, that Yahweh saves. And I wonder if Joseph eventually did come to see him as Emmanuel, God with us. Did Joseph see this baby, his son, that he raised as being the Son of God? As we take this time to look at the story of Jesus at this time of the year, we see the fullness of God revealed in Jesus and how he interacted with his people as he got older. And the more I study the Gospels, the more I know of Jesus and reflect in partnership with that on what I read in the Old Testament, I can see more and more that Jesus is exactly the same as the God of the Old Testament. The God that is revealed through Scripture is revealed in Christ perfectly. He is the perfect image of the God that Israel was called to serve. He was in human form, which most people couldn't quite get their head around. And so for us, as we remember the story this year, I want to challenge us to think about what it means, God with us. He was born as a baby. We love to celebrate that, don't we? That's what Christmas is about. We celebrate it was a baby. Then we know he was an adult, so he had to grow. He had to endure all that we had to endure. He had to experience all that we experience coming into adulthood. Now, I don't know if they had schools back then, but he would have had siblings. He would have had to engage with his parents. He would have had to engage in the synagogue, probably, and the community that he was part of. He would have had to learn to climb and fall and jump and eat. And did he like certain foods and not others? Did he, you know, have opinions and all that sort of stuff? I guess if he was fully human, then surely he must have, right? And so when we look, and I love about this is this Jesus that was born as a baby went to the cross as an adult. I love how that's sitting together. Because the Jesus that went to the cross was fully God in fully human form. Not just body, but experiences and memories and encounters. Fully human. A lifetime of experience and memories. But he never failed to stay faithful to his heavenly Father. He lived in perfect relationship with his Father and with mankind. Emmanuel, God with us, is an incredible statement. And even in this part of the Christmas story, God is with his people. And in the midst of God-fearing parents, poor shepherds, rich foreign kings, evil rulers, and faithful priests, that the Christmas story tells us, God is present and working through it all. Mary and Joseph were invited to be part of the story, naturally, and they both had supernatural encounters that spoke of what God was doing. I think they needed that because it would have been really hard to endure that, but they held on to that reality that God had spoke, told them what was going on. Mary agreed to the plan before it became a reality. Joseph did as well, but Mary heard from the angel, chose to put Jesus in the center of her life. Joseph heard from the angel, chose to make Jesus the center of their family. He didn't initially believe in Mary, but the angel changed his mind. And he persevered because of that word, because of that dream, because of that encounter. The two of them moved forward in this incredible moment, in this incredible life that they had to live. And in time, the foretold birth became reality. Jesus was born, and suddenly shepherds are turning up, talking about the angelic encounter they had. I wonder what Mary and Joseph were thinking when they heard that. They were so excited, these shepherds, that they saw what they had been told. Oh, sorry. That after they saw what they'd been told, they just had to tell everyone on the way back. Have you ever experienced something that was so incredible that you just couldn't keep it to yourself? You had to share it. These guys were like that. They were just heading back out to the fields. But they were just saying, guess what we've seen? Guess what we've heard? They were full of joy. 8 days later, when Mary and Joseph went to take Jesus to be circumcised and dedicated, Simeon and Anna had spent years at the temple. They were there watching babies come and go, being dedicated. They were the ones that dedicated the babies to God and the tradition of their people. And yet they recognized that this baby was something else. Simeon said, "This is the one I've been waiting for. I'm happy to die now, because I know that God's plan is at work." And a baby, it's just incredible. And Anna came in and started prophesying over her. The spirit within her could see, was saying, this is the one who is changing everything. And then, of course, as the baby grew, started to become a bit older, the Magi came to visit. These foreigners were wealthy, influential people. They created a stir throughout Jerusalem when they turned up. And yet they bowed and worshipped the young child when they saw him. And they gave expensive gifts. These people were outside of the ordinary Israel-Jewish experience. And yet they're a key part of the story. It's a really cool thing to explore and look into why they were there and how they came to be. And all of these people recognized this baby, this child, as God's Savior. And Jesus had not done anything. He simply was born. See, there's a huge faith aspect to all of these people's story. All of them had encountered an angelic presence, something that led them to pursue a journey of discovery. And they believed and knew that God was at work in this boy. They saw it in this baby. And they believed in Jesus for what he was going to be. But the reality is that not everybody does. And as we go through the story, we know that King Herod, who the Magi came and engaged with, he heard about Jesus. He'd probably known about it through the prophets. He'd heard about it from these guys, but he wasn't interested in worship. He only saw him as a threat. He never made a move to come and offer worship or gifts. Instead, he moved to destroy Jesus. Jesus was a stumbling block for Herod, even as a baby. Even before he'd said a word or done anything, already Jesus had become a challenge for the political rulers of the world. The political power only saw a threat to their hold instead of the freedom and hope that this baby represented. Even as a toddler, he was challenging the world he came into. Now we know the full story. We have come knowing the whole lot. And yet so many of us still struggle to believe that Jesus is still with us, that he is present by his spirit with each one of us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Not for a moment, not for just then, not for just a few people that happened then. He is God with us. He became flesh. He dwelt amongst humanity. And these people that were part of the story we're so familiar with worshipped and engaged and believed. But what about us today? Who do we say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? And how do you respond to the news that Jesus is born? That he was born, but he is born. He is born as a human, God with us. Do we hear that, believe, and put him at the center of all that we are and all that we do? Do we trust what he has said in all things that he said? Do we walk boldly and confidently, believing what he said, knowing that he is trustworthy and faithful to what he has said? Do we commit our lives to him, to be his people, to trust his way, to do it? Do we put him right in the middle of all that we are? Because Jesus invites us into the journey of life with him. He calls us to put aside our plans, our desires, to walk with him. And in that we find fullness of life. By being obedient to all that he commanded, learning to walk in his ways is how he is present in us, by his Spirit. And when we walk in that obedience, we find him moving in ways that is far more than just my actions. My obedience doesn't change stuff. My obedience simply enables him to move how he wants to, in my obedience and in the community that I'm part of. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, moves and does far more than we could imagine, partnering with our actions, our trust, our faith, and things change. How many of you have learnt that? Yeah. We were doing that. What was that song? We've stepped out of the grave, out of death, into life. That's what we get to enjoy. So when we sit here and celebrate, we're not just celebrating tradition, we're celebrating the beginning of salvation and all that God has been doing, because we're actually part of it. Well, I am, and it's kind of cool. Still waiting for lunch though, right? Are you part of God's salvation journey? Is God doing, has he set you free to bring you into his life, doing life his way with his Spirit? Yes. Yay, that's great. I'm pleased. Yes. See, here's the thing. Each of us has a choice. Yep. We can see Jesus. We can consider the story. We consider the reality that just bucks every tradition that we would ever know. I mean, if you put yourself back then, who would believe that God, who would change the world through this? And yet when we read the story, we know he is, and he has, and he's continuing to. And we get a choice. We get to choose to follow and to worship and to make him the center of our lives. Or we can choose to ignore him and maybe go to a Christmas service, have a really cool lunch, and then carry on as if it never really happened. It's just a story. It's lovely. It's fun to celebrate, but makes no difference to us. See, the thing is, with the journey with Jesus is uncomfortable. And I think sometimes when we present it in Christmas, we make it so cool that it's full of joy and fun that we forget that it's incredibly costly, that we have to lay down our life. Because Jesus will challenge your understanding of what it means to be his. He will challenge your understanding of what it means to be in the church. He will challenge your understanding of what religion really is about. He will draw you into the fullness of what it means to be people, humans, made in the image of God, made for purpose, with purpose, made for intimacy with the Creator, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He will challenge and shape and change you and bring you into the fullness of all that he intended when you choose to walk in his world, to walk the way he tells us to walk. See, here's the thing that I get from the Christmas story is Jesus is the one who saves. That's why he's called Jesus. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. See, the Christmas story shows that God's heart is for people. He always wants to come. It has always been about getting involved in our world, inviting us to come to him, to die to our way, to die to our self-centered, sinful nature, sinful way of doing life, to come and to look at this and to go, wow, God, you are incredible. To walk with him in his world, his way. As we celebrate Christmas, don't get distracted by all the worldly stuff. Look, there's nothing wrong with putting up decorations. There's nothing wrong with gift giving and having gatherings and food. Nothing wrong with all that. But it's not the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. Because this baby came into our world and changed everything. And when we choose to give our lives to him, when we focus on the one who came to save by walking amongst us, we learn that he comes and lives within us, transforming and changing us. So many people are waiting for the world to change. And God's going, no, no, no. What seems stupid to the world is the power of God. What God is doing is changing your heart, your family, your relationships, your things, in the midst of the challenges and difficulties and realities all around us. He's transforming personally, and through people that choose to gather together worshipping him, he will transform us corporately to be something that is not of this world, being something that's a light in the world, leading ourselves and others to salvation in Jesus. Because here's something that I'm more really, really fixated on this Christmas. Jesus, the one who saves, is Emmanuel, God with us. And the thing is that the God who is with us is the one who saves. Jesus is the one who saves. It's not about whether you do Christmas or don't do Christmas. It's whether you do the right thing or the wrong thing. It's Jesus. And he is as alive today as he ever has been. He is as present today as he ever has been. And I want to say to you, if you don't yet know Jesus, you want to give up everything you can and pursue and discover and talk to whoever and find out who this Jesus is. Commit your way to him. Let him come into your life to be the lead, the guide, the encourager, all those things that he promises to be. And his life will become your life. Man, that's just out of this world, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the story, the recounting of your salvation plan for humanity. Starting as the most ridiculous thing, a baby that's powerless, weak, and has nothing to offer from our understanding. And yet from that baby, you brought about the salvation of all who would believe. Father, may we be rooted in that reality this Christmas. May we gather with family and enjoy the traditions and stuff. But Lord, may we fix our eyes on you. May we celebrate, sing the carols with new understanding, reflecting on many of their words are amazing. Recounting and recalling the reality of what's actually been going on. And Lord, may we be thankful that we can live today, 2,000 something years later, still rejoicing that you're still present, walking amongst us through your people who have given their lives for you and allowing you to live your life through them, proclaiming your name in our world. Father, have your way in us. Amen? Amen. All yours, right?
We're going to finish with a song. I'm going to just reread the scripture from Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or can imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
So stand, we're going to sing Joy to the World again this morning.